I'm going to be learning still Nichiren, for I want to learn for at least the next 6 or 7 times some Torahs from the from Rav Leibler, different than Yonim. It's Chanukah, so we're going to learn about the Inyan of Chanukah and Yosef HaTzadik, a concept that I mentioned once in Rav Leibler's name here in the shul. Now we're going to learn it properly inside. So the piece that you have in front of you was from Shabbos Chanukah, and as I told you when we were learning about the life of Rav Leibler, that he often begins his Torahs by with a selection from the Zmiris of Shabbos. From the Zmiris, if it's Friday night, if it was a Friday night tish, then it was from the Zmiris of Friday night, from Shabbos, from Shalosh Shudas. But then he would go into the parashah, he would go into the time. So here, he's discussing the Zmiris, Evuz Hashem Kol Chasidav Emunim Noitzer Hashem. The Zmiris, Evuz Hashem, Love Hashem Kol Chasidav. Now, Emunim is in the plural. Emunah in the plural, faith, who are guarding the faith, or those who protect, who guard, who hold on to Emunah. And Hashem protects those who are faithful to Him. So the Sima Pasuk, the Pasuk ends, Chizku v'yameitz l'vavchem kolam yachlam l'Hashem. Strength, that the hearts of those who have hope in Hashem should be strong, and should take courage. Hine muvan me'elav gerdel hatzar v'acharodah shel Yaakov avinu olav v'sholom. We can certainly understand that on our own. We can understand the terrible anguish and the fear that Yaakov Avinu felt. Me'hamaiseh hanemar b'sidra zu, with the maiseh that's taking place in these parashiyos, the disappearance of Yosef HaTzadik. We can certainly understand what kind of feeling. We could try to understand what kind of a feeling Yaakov Avinu had. Lacha shenosa b'be'er sheva. After all the things that Yaakov went through, but particularly after Parshas Vayetze, where we know that Yaakov Avinu had the dream, and it says there, Vayikach me'avne hamokim, he took from the stones of the place. Ramu chazal shalokach shnei avonim v'chadomer shalosh avonim v'chadomer yudbeis. Right, that the stones, there are different opinions about how many stones came together under Yaakov Avinu's head for him to go to sleep and to have that vision of the ladder. But v'kulam oylem b'kana echad. All of these opinions add up really to the same thing. Haynu shebochan ba'atzmo, that Yaakov Avinu understood. Im yisachdu shinun yud. Just to remember 1 second, but he understood that im yisachdu, that if all the stones would come together, remember that was the test there of the stones joining together, whether it was 3, whether it was 12. The point is that the stones would join together. Then he understood that im yisachdu has shnei bechinas. It's not Rosh Hashanah. It's just using the dish. He has something he himself was thinking of, but it means im yisachdu shnei bechinas. Shel Avram v'Yitzchak, that if these two aspects, if Avram and Yitzchak would be joined together, Sheiyahu hamishulosh lahamid hayud beishvatim. He knew, he believed, that as we spoke about the last few weeks with the union of Kedushas HaBris, that the main concern of the Ovis was that the Bidei started should be able to continue through until the end of time. That was the main fear, that it shouldn't, God forbid, be just a passing thing in history, but it should be, with Nitzchis, it should be something which is eternal. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu knew that what had to take place was this fusion, this coming together, this merging of the two worlds of Avram and Yitzchak. In the writings of Maharal, we know the number 2 is very, very dangerous. 2 is dangerous because 2 indicates separation. 2 is the number, it's the beginning of separation, it's the beginning, it's the first multiple number, it's the beginning of the divergence from oneness. 1, echad, achdus, is what the Ovis was seeking. 2 which is, that's why the Torah begins with the Beis, as it says in the Svarim, Beis, because Beis means free choice, Beis means that there's more than one way, Beis means double vision, it means confusion, two means confusion. In the Maharal's writings, the number three, we see that the Jewish people in Chazal are called a nation of three. Three Avos, three sections of Tanakh, that we have Kahanim, Levim, and Yisrael. The Torah was given in the third month, and so on. We are an Amat Lisoi. We are called a nation of threes. The Maharal explains in many places that the number three means that the two have the potential to be brought back to one. See, the third point means that the two can somehow converge, that the two have a meeting place. The number two means two lines that can just go on indefinitely, that can go on forever. Three means there's a possibility of the two coming back together, joining together. Therefore, it was necessary, Yaakovino understood that it was crucial that somehow through him, that he was the third of the others, he was the third one, he understood that it was necessary for him to be the link, to be that potential to join together the two ways of Avram and Yitzchak. That's why Yaakov has a dream. We spoke about this many times, that the times that the top of the ladder is in Shemayim, that's the way of Yitzchak Avinu, that's more removed from this world, and the bottom of the ladder is planted into the earth, which is the way of Avram Avinu, which is more worldly and part of this world, and so on. And Yaakov Avinu's wrestling match with the Malach. With Yaakov Avinu, it's always a question. What's going to happen here? Avram and Yitzchak, how are those two worlds going to merge within him? The two ways of Avram and Yitzchak. How are they going to find a place within him? And he knew that if this would happen, then the Jewish people are going to be eternal. That's why Yaakov Avinu is referred to as that which is able to join together the two extremes. Yaakov is Rachamim. Rachamim means the ability, Tiferes, which means harmony, right? Yaakov is Emes, which is Tiferes, which is harmony, because it's through Yaakov Avinu that the two opposing qualities of Chesed and Gvur can come together and be joined in a healthy and proper symmetrical way. Therefore, he knew that he has to be the third one through whom there will come these 12, the Yud Beis Shvatim, Shiyeh Lekiyim Olam Shiyeshtal Shalai Yadav, that this should be, that the Jewish people, that his descendants should exist forever, Shoyrish Kedushas Yisrael, the root of the sanctity of the holiness of the Jewish people. V'gam hayelo kabbalah v'simen. And he had a simen. He had a kabbalah. That means he had a tradition. Im chalila ya'adir echad mi bonav chazal. Rashi says this. Rashi brings this from Chazal. This is why Yaakov couldn't be consoled. This is why he was mourning. He couldn't stop mourning. Why? Because he had a kabbalah that im chalila ya'adir echad mi bonav v'chayev, that if one of his sons would die during his lifetime, he had a kabbalah that if one of his sons, one of the shvatim, would die during his lifetime, lo yenishlam ima tachlis hamakuvan, then the whole plan is finished. It's all finished. there had to be a situation of mitoso shleima. There had to come forth from Yaakov. Also, the number 12 is very significant, which the Sefer Yetzirah goes into great length. I don't want to go into this right now. Why it had to be the number 12. But Yaakov Avinu had a Kabbalah, as Rashi says from Chazal. He knew that if one of his sons would die in his lifetime, that would mean that the whole thing is off. Kipirish Rashi's al, as Rashi said. Ula'achar kol zeh, kishabawa elav bana. Now, after all of this, in other words, he had this sign that the 12 stones gathered under his head. The 12 stones, or whether it were two, but the stones gathered into one under his head, which to him meant this is what's going to be. This is the promise for the future. And he had the vision of the angels and so on. After all of this, and finally, after raising such a mishpacha, such a family, and having the 12 shvatim, and all the future, all that his grandfather and father were counting on, after all of this, what happened? They came back with a bloody robe of Yosef. When he saw that, it was all for foul. Can you imagine? Everything was in his eyes at that moment. There was no hope. That was it. It was all ruined. Gamal Pitas Torah. He was told from Shemayim that all of your children must survive you in order for this plan, in order for the game to work. I don't mean a game that's not serious. In order for this to be carried out, all of your children had to survive you. And he's staring, he's holding in his arms this simon of the death of the tzaddik, of Yosef HaTzaddik. Okumavur. That's why it says right away in the Torah, Vayima'ein lehisnachem. He refused to be comforted. He could not be comforted. It wasn't just the loss of his son, although that's enough to destroy, to shatter a parent's heart. It wasn't just that. It was the loss of millions of future children. It was the loss of Mashiach. It was the loss of the whole thing. Everything. Ki eiza tanchumen hoye b'cholis liyoslo. What way could he possibly be comforted? How could you comfort Yaakov Avinu? According to what he, was clear to him, there was absolutely no hope at all. Rakim calls those his chazik libo, despite that. He strengthened his heart, bekivui, with hope, the yichol l'Hashem b'amun ha'shleim v'chazakim. He continued to turn to Hashem and to David. If it were any of us, that would have been the end. We would have just buried ourselves. Yaakov at that point continued with Amunah. Shleim of a Chazakah. Hagam Shirochak bin Adas. Even though it was totally absurd. He was believing in something that he himself had been told, that if your son, if one of your children dies in your lifetime, then it's all finished. And nevertheless, he continued to have Amunah, despite the absurdity of it. La'achaza, and after that, nizgalaloi shebe'emes nizkaimelo hayud be'shvotim l'kim oilam. Ultimately, he found out, oh, Yosef chai, that Yosef never died. And that the shvotim are going to continue forever. And here we are. V'ro oisam be'en of kol yimei chayah. And he was zoichet to see all of the 12, he was able to see with his own eyes during his lifetime. And this made it clear to him forever that the Kedusha of the Jewish people was going to continue on forever and ever. Yaakov was the quality of Emes, of truth, as we spoke about at great length. And what he saw before he died was the truth, the absolute truth that will continue Kayim La'ad forever and ever. And now, what happened about, so what about that time in his life when he didn't know, when the truth was in danger, when the whole plan was jeopardized, when he thought that all was lost? It turns out, he says, it turned out to be the reason that he was able to live longer. It gave him life, as it says, that the spirit and the life of Yaakov was restored, was renewed. Vihini Eishloimer, Sora Blabel explains, Shlatam Zemes Damin Tomi Gimei Chanukah B'Meshach Sidra Seilo. This is why Chanukah always comes out during these parashias of Yosef's disappearance. Chanukah always comes out during the parashias of Yosef's disappearance. Ki Inyan Chanukah Hu Gam Kein Sherish Inyan Hanal. Because Chanukah is the continuation of this very same inyan. Kiyadua, Sha'oz Hayi Betachlis HaShiflis. At the time that Chanukah took place, the Jewish people were Betachlis HaShiflis. They were at the lowest point in their history. There was no longer any prophecy. They felt completely cut off. A large part of the Jewish people had drifted away from Torah Mitzvahs. V'yardu b'seisar hamadrega, they were in the lowest place. V'haya shlita gedoyla me'ahester, ad shetimu kol hashmanim. There was such concealment at that time that all of the shmanim, all of the oils were defiled. And to them that meant that there was no hope. Because what they were holding on to was a little bit of tahara, a little bit of kedusha, a little bit of something that we have left in us. And when they came to the Beis HaMikdash, and they saw that the whole Beis HaMikdash was defiled, that everything was desecrated, everything was broken and ruined, when they saw that, it says, "Hayne shekol kach haya gadol Hester ad shelo haya oid al pi tfisa shum kli lekablos or." They were thinking and thinking, and there wasn't any hope. There wasn't any way out. There wasn't any possibility. There wasn't any kli. There wasn't anything left. There wasn't anything left in their lives to be able to receive any light. And then suddenly they found this little jar, the chayis moshe kohen gadol, that was sealed with the seal of the kohen gadol. Even though, as we know, that they could have lit oil that was not pure, right? The Pnei Yeshua explains, and we know that they could have lit oil that was not pure. Al pi din, it was allowed, it was permitted. But the point was that they needed some sign, they needed some reassurance, and they saw nothing at all except tumah. So to take some oil that was tameh and to light it for them, that wasn't going to give them the chiyus, the chizik that they needed to go on. So they found the shemen, they found the oil. And then they realized that it turns out that there was always pure oil. That there was never a time that the Kedusha of the Jewish people had totally died. Because this was there all the time, they just didn't see it. Just like Yosef was there all the time. But Yaakov didn't know. He couldn't see it with his eyes. In other words, the future of the Jewish people was there, but Yaakov couldn't touch it, couldn't hold on to it. So too, all of this time, when it seemed that everything was lost and everything was tamei, there was something there that was all along. It was there with the seal of the kohen gadol, sitting there, covered, hidden by everything else, by all the tumah, and it was there all the time.
That's why Chazal say that Chanukah is the end of all Nisim, of all miracles. Ever since Chanukah, we don't see miracles on a national scale. There are individual people, there are tzaddikim and so on, but we don't see any more in an open and clear way as a people. We don't see any miracles. Chazal have a lotion of Sefkala, but really, So Chazal explained why is that. Maybe Shana explained why is that called Purim. Why is it called Esther? So Chazal say because that's the last one to be written. Right? The Gemara says that's the last one to be recorded. So we have a sefer Megillas Esther. But Chanukah in Lemaisa though, Chanukah was the last national miracle, right? And it was the last open and clear miracle. Purim was not open and clear. Purim was Hashem being with us in a hidden way, and Purim took place before Chanukah. But there it says. The Gemara asks, when it says that Esther is the end of all miracles, what about Chanukah? So the answer is that this is Nitin Likosev, that the miracle of Purim was the last one to be written in Tanakh, in Megillas Esther. Chanukah is not written. Chanukah comes from a place that's so deep that it can't be written. It doesn't have a tefisa. It can't find itself in physical kalim. That's how great it is. The light of Chanukah is from such a place. Because there's that place where it seems that all is lost. That can't be something that's in writing. Sefer HaShemonoyim is not part of Tanakh. All right, it's not for now, but it's not part of Tanakh. It wasn't included in Tanakh, the Sefer Makabim. It's not included.
The Rambam goes into my Hanukkah, and goes into giving the whole history of Hanukkah, because it's not really recorded.
Right. That's, Achren talk about that. The Rambam felt it necessary to go into the whole story, the whole Arichas, because it's not part of Torah Shebichsav. Right, so those are Svarim that are not included in Tanakh. So it's not called Kisvei HaKodesh. Therefore, Purim is part of Kisvei HaKodesh, and Chanukah is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. The history of those Svarim is an interesting subject, but it's not for now. But certainly Chanukah is not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. And Purim is. The idea being, what along the lines of Rav Label is talking about is, you see, if something is in writing, it already means that on some level it's limited. Because it's limited to what you see before your eyes. If we're talking about Chanukah comes from a place that you can't see with your eyes. That's the whole point. Chanukah therefore had to remain oral.
Chanukah can't be b'ksav. It can't be. It doesn't have a tefisa in letters that you can see or that you can touch. It's just that you know that Hashem is with you, despite the way that it seems. The Yemoyin Le'esnachem, so Yaakov Avinu couldn't stop mourning. So we know because in some level, in some way, he knew what? He knew that it can't be. Even though, Alpi logic, in other words, as far as what was written, it was clear in front of Yaakov Avinu's eyes. It's all finished. Yosef is dead. That's it. The plan is finished. There's nothing to talk about. But deep inside of Yaakov Avinu, there was this awareness. There was an awareness that there was something else. Right? There was an awareness that there's still hope. That's why he didn't stop mourning. The reason he didn't stop mourning is because there was still hope. Right? That's why you continue crying when you know there's still hope. There's no hope. So Yaakov, you know, there was the Nakuda, but there was something that couldn't be seen. Therefore, Chanukah is not something that can be written. Because Chanukah doesn't have a tfisa, it's not able to flow into written letters. Because if something is written, it means you can see it with your eyes. But Chanukah touches a place of emunah inside of a Jew that's something that can't be explained and it can't be written. It's beyond that. And that's what it means. It's the end of all Nisan. That's why Chanukah is the yontif that holds the Jewish people through goals. It's the last yontif, it's the last miracle that we have as a people. Dafka, the one that can't be written or can't be explained. It's something that's within us and it's something that can't be described. It's that pak shaman, that jar of pure oil, that no matter what has happened to us, that can't be defiled. And that's the guarantee that Hashem is going to be with us until the end of time. That was the going away gift. That was the beginning of Golos. That was the end. It was the last thing. And after that's going to be the Churban Bayis Sheni. And after Churban Bayis Sheni and the Golos and suffering and sorrows until now. And all that we're holding on to is that little jar of oil. If not for that, we'd be lost. We wouldn't be able to go on. We wouldn't get up in the morning. We'd be up to them tefillin. It's not written. It's not what. It's become part of us. So he says this thing in Chanukah of Shalai. Yeah, I'd shum as chashes Yosef Yidai. He has died beneath Hazel as chazik. There's enough in this miracle of Chanukah to give the Jewish people chizik till Mashiach. There's enough in this miracle to give us chizik until Mashiach. Ad bi as golbim hebi amenu. Ki mizet davke hoi habiru. Why? Because Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah was the clarification, was the proof. That never ever will the Kedusha, never will the Kedusha stop. From that time of Chanukah we knew that even though it seems to us like there's no possibility, even though it seems to us like there's no Kedusha, there's no hope, that somehow it's there, it's just hidden, we can't see it with our eyes. Vini Adum HaMidroshim Shekol Ma'isei Ovesim Labonim. Everything that our ancestors went through. It's a simon labonim. It is paving a way for the children. Everything that the Ovis did, everything that our fathers and our mothers did, that the Ovis and the Imahus did, it was all be'emes. It was all real. It was all meant to be something which was permanent, not just like you or I. One day we think like this, the next day we feel like this, the next day we think like this. With the Ovis and the Imos, it was Emes V'Kayim La'ad. It was permanent. Lachain Nasim Mikol Ma'aseim Emes V'Kayim La'ad. Therefore, the Chesed of Avram Avinu continues to the end of time. The Gvur of Yitzchak is to the end of time. And so it is with Yaakov and all the Shvatim. It's Kayim La'ad. It's eternal. And that's the Bris that we were talking about. He comes back to the subject of Bris. And this is what I wanted to show you in the writings of Reb Label, that one should not just understand that the Indian of Kedushas HaBris means that men and women behave in a proper way. That's, of course, the most basic understanding of Yesod, of Bris. But in Reb Label's teachings, Bris means that something has a kiyum. It continues, as we spoke about last time. It's something which continues and it goes on and on and on. It doesn't stop. That's the Indian of having children and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren until the end of time. V'cheini says, Inyan ha-maisim Yosef. This is what happened with Yosef at Tzadik. Shahaya yadu lahem shor shushu b'chinis Yesod. Now Yaakov Avinu knew that Yosef is that quality that's called Tzadik, that's called Yesod. The foundation. V'kasha nevad mehem. That means without Yosef, the whole system can't work. Yesod means, without getting Kabbalistic, just very simple. When we have the higher levels of Chabad, Chochma Bina Das, right, descending all the way into the aspects of the lower spheres of Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, right? That something should materialize and become part of this world, that there should eventually be a revelation of Malchus HaMashiach, the kingdom of Mashiach, that Hashem's will should be revealed in this physical world, that depends on that last connecting link. That link that connects Shemayim and Aretz, heaven and earth, that connects all the highest spheres with the lowest, with Malchus, with this world, that's called Yesod. And that's the Tzaddik. You can have the most wonderful ideas in the world. You could be a person that is filled with, you'll excuse the expression, that's pregnant with wonderful ideas. And your whole life you're saying, I wanted to, I didn't, I was hoping to, I should have, I could have, I would have. Someone stopped me, something got in the way, it's my parents' fault. It's my parents, it's my friends, it's my therapist, it's my kids, whatever it is. The bottom line is, you never made it to the end zone. You didn't get there. You had wonderful, wonderful thoughts, but you didn't have children. A woman, God forbid, who is always expecting and is never able to give birth, Chalila, the Jewish people are described in Golos in such a state. Rani Akarla, Yolada, and even when we're expecting miscarriage after miscarriage, that's why the Kohen Gadol, the Davin, that's Otapal Isha Pribitna, the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, when he went listening with Davin that no woman should have a miscarriage, and the Ari HaKadosh said is talking about the Inyan of Mashiach. It's a very big thing. But it means that the Jewish people shouldn't miscarry. That means that we have wonderful ideas, but they don't have a kiyum. Like, you know, you have, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be at tzaddik, and I'm going to be no more lashon hara, no more this, no more, everything's going to be good, I'm going to daven, I'm going to learn, and that's it. So this is all beautiful, and it means that you're expecting, and God forbid, if you don't give birth to it, lemaisa, that's called malchus. That something should materialize in this world, that's called malchus. So if you don't have this koach, that's called yesod, which means in the physical world the ability to reproduce. To reproduce means that to take something that's in potential and to bring it into reality. That's reproduction. That's bringing something into Metzius. So you could have a person that says, yes, I intend on having children, I plan on having children, like people will say nowadays, such lashon is, you know, when I'll be 35, I'll have my first kid, and I'll be 37, I'll have a second kid, and so on. So these plans, or persons, these plans mean nothing. Because if it's not going to get to Malchus, then there's no Metzius. So the Tzaddik is Yesod. The Tzaddik is the one who's able to take Kivyachol, God's plans, and the plans of human beings, of Jews, and to bring them into this world. That's what the Tzaddik does. That's what the Tzaddik's always doing. That's the job of the Tzaddik, to connect Shemayim and Aretz. Until that time, without the Tzaddik, everything is a plan. Everything's beautiful. It's all an idea. It's through the tzaddik who's Yesod, and that's Yosef HaTzaddik, it's through the tzaddik that the plan could become part of this world, could descend into Malchus. That's why the test of Yosef is Davkin the Inyan of Kedushas HaBris. Because the bris means to bring something into reality. That's what the bris means, to carry it through. And therefore the test of Yosef was, would he, God forbid, stray with another man's wife? In other words, would he be veered off the path in that direction that the others had set for him, and go and God forbid, waste his seed in the world of Mitzrayim, of impurity. And the Inyan of Yosef HaTzaddik is, no, everything must continue towards the end. Everything has to continue. And that's the Inyan of the Tzaddik, to bring it into reality. Therefore, Yosef had to descend into the lowest place of reality. Because ultimately, the Malchus of Hashem has to be revealed everywhere. If it could be revealed in Mitzrayim, it means it could be revealed everywhere. Because Egypt was the Ervas Ha'aretz, was the impurity and the filth of all existence. So the Tzaddik had to descend into the pit of the lowest place in the world, because even there, the light of Hashem must infiltrate, must penetrate. And the Tzaddik therefore has to go to that place to bring the light of Hashem even to that place, into the lowest place. So that's what he explains. Yosef, he says, so how you do, Allah, I'm sure, because Yosef is Yisod, the Kasha never at Mehem. Now when Yosef was lost, the Yaakov, you know, Allah, Shalom, Choshev, Shatarafai, he thought that he was killed by a wild animal. He didn't know what to make of this. The Gemma Shvotim, Avshi, Yodim, even now, even the Shvotim, the tribes, the brothers, they knew that he wasn't killed by a wild animal. Still, they never ever imagined in their wildest dreams that Yosef remained a tzaddik. Only, but he became the biggest tzaddik in Mitzrayim. They thought that was it. That by now he was already he wasn't in any yeshiva. He wasn't learning in any kollel. That was it. That was the end. Even if he was alive, he wasn't attached to Kedushas HaBris anymore. Kiyodu shenimkel in Mitzrayim. Shesham ain't shum oifen lishab Kedush. No one can remain holy in Mitzrayim. It's not possible. V'chalila ovad svarim. That was it. They felt guilty. They felt responsible, and it was all lost. Then afterwards they discovered, when he said, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef, and they saw, and they understood, that what? That the Kedusha, the holiness of Yosef, remained intact in that place of Mitzrayim. This is the jar of oil. They found the jar of oil. In the place of the biggest tumah. They found Yosef HaTzadik. This is why it's the last miracle. This is the Roshim, the imprint. That was left by Chanukah, that was left through Yosef HaTzadik. Through Yosef HaTzadik and Chanukah, that was left to the Jewish people to keep us going until the end of time, to know within the deepest part of ourselves that even though it seems logically impossible for us to make it to the end, that somehow, in some way, there's this jar of oil, there's this tzaddik, there's this kedusha that remains alive within each and every one of us, not just the Jewish people. Within each and every one of us, there is that Yosef HaTzadik. B'chol nafshus Yisrael, in the soul of every Jew, liyas kedusha zu nishrosh b'Yisrael l'kiyim oilam, that in every Jew there is that part of the pure oil. There is that piece of Yosef HaTzadik that's covered up in Mitzrayim and all kinds of crazy things, but remains Yosef. Gam kishenir l'famim chalila sheneva, even though it seems sometimes like all is lost, ve'in tikva l'hachzir chas v'shon, there's no way to get it back. Im kolzos l'yisrashol ma'akivu v'hayichu, we learn from Yosef HaTzadik, and we learn from Yaakov Avinu, from his father, who refused to give up, that despite what seems to be total loss and something which is impossible, to continue davening and having hope in Hashem. Shabbam is Yuchal Ahachzir Akol LaKedusha, to believe that Hashem can bring everything back to Kedusha. K'may Shenemar, as it says, Im Yiyeni Dachachor B'Ktzei HaShemayim, Misham Yikavetzcho. It says at the end of Chumash, in the last few parshas of Chumash, in the Tzav Mayelach, it says in the Torah, that even if you will be dispersed, and that means spiritual dispersion, it doesn't mean that it just mean that there's a Jew living someplace in, you know, some deserted island. It means, even though there's a Jew, that in the Indian of Shemaim, he's at the edge. He's at the end. There's no shaykhs. He's no connection. Doesn't have the slightest bit of a connection to Yiddishkeit. Yet it says in Torah, Misham Yikavetzcha, Hashem will bring you back from that place. Even that person who's lost in Mitzrayim, who's completely lost. Even the ones who are ovdim and nidachim, and there's no chance. Nisham yikabetzcha. From there, Hashem will bring you back. V'zehu inyan neis Chanukah b'chlal Yisrael. This is the inyan of neis Chanukah in the Jewish people. That's why it was the last miracle to tell each and every Jew that Nisham yikabetzcha. From there also, Hashem will bring you back. Shamitzvahu ba'or v'yadua shemaramiz al kedusha zu. The miracle of Chanukah, the whole thing of miracle of Chanukah, the yontif of Chanukah is light. And light means that Hashem saw the light and it was good. The tov, and we know that tov, good, the tzaddik is called tov. Imru tzaddik ki tov. The tzaddik is called tov. I mean, even though we're here in this world, you know, that can mean donuts, it can mean all kinds of things, you know, taxis. You know, in Borough Park, you have all these taxis, Hatzlocha, Amun Shleima, you know, Tarim Sinai, all the fancier the name, the more you got to count your change, right? But Kitov really means Tzadik. Imru Tzadik Kitov. But we understand why. Vayalakim is the Or Kitov. It means that light, you know, is hidden. And it's hidden for the Tzadikim, it's hidden until the end of time. That means you can't see it with your eyes. The Tzadik, we don't see, we don't understand, but the Tzadik is that light. The tzaddik is that or imut tzaddik ki taif. Good means something which makes it to the end. That's good. Everything else, it's nice. You get an E for effort. But taif, He could tell him, if your kid brings a poker that says on a toiv, they get upset. She's supposed to say mitzuyan. A toiv ma'oid plus. But he could say it, says the pasuk, imut tzadiki toiv, doesn't say imut tzadiki toiv ma'oid. It does imut tzadiki mitzuyan. It says imut tzadiki toiv. The toiv of the tzadik means that the midah of tzadik. The midah of tzadik is good. Good means from beginning to end. It's real. Imut tzadiki toiv. The end letters of those words, es ha'or, ki tov, spells bris, the covenant. Es ha'or, ki tov. The final letters, the sefer tevis, it's significant that they're the final letters. Why? What do the final letters indicate? It means mishom yikabetzcha, it means till the end. Right? It means till the end. Just like we find the first three words of the Torah, Breishis Bar Lukim, right? What are the last three letters in those three words? Breishis Bar Lukim? Emes, right? Breishis Saf, Bara is Aleph, Elukim is Mem. Chayis Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Emes means till the end. That's why the last three letters at the beginning of Torah are Emes. And the Seifei Tevis here too, the end letters are Bris. Es Ha'or Ki Taiv spells Bris, the last letters. Val Yidei Ha'adlokish Inyan Yichul V'kivu Yiliskais Every time you and I light Hanukkah candles, Reb Leibler says, when it comes time for Hanukkah and we light this and we light the menorah, we connect once again to that or, to that tzaddik, to toiv, ki toiv. Niskabetz on some level, niskabetz the next zahakal kedusha. Everything is somehow gathered in, everything returns home, everything comes back. Gamasha nevad chelila lamara ayin. Even that which we can't see, it seems to be lost. When we look with our eyes, it seems lost. Therefore, Chazal taught us that the ner, the light of Chanukah, the candles of Chanukah, it's a mitzvah to place these by the opening of the outside of the house. Right? In the meantime, in Golos, we have a problem, but this is the way that, this is the takana of ner Chanukah, is that it should be lit by the outside of the house, by the opening leading outside. I mentioned this in Shul many times. This is like a person who has lost something. He knows for sure it's not home. I know for sure it's not in my house. For sure I didn't have it's not in the house. He knows for sure it's not in the house. He didn't bring it into the house. It's not there. So he begins the search. And the search begins by the opening. As he steps out of the house, he begins to look. And he's hoping, he's davening, that he's going to be able to find outside what he lost. That used to be inside, now it's outside. But he's hoping to find it. But he has to begin searching. V'zem rumas gamkin v'haftarah de Chanukah. This is hinted at in the haftarah of Chanukah. Roni v'simchi bas Zion. Right? Rejoice bas Zion. Ki hin li ba, Hashem says, I am coming v'shachanti b'socheich and I will dwell amongst you. In other words, that which was lost. We never imagined that the Shechinah is going to come back to us. We can't even imagine. We say all these tirus and we hear about it, we read about it. And I always say, but when it's going to happen, we're going to go, I can't believe, no kidding. I can't believe it. On that day when it's going to happen, we're going to say, I never thought I would find this again. Not only that, but it came back to us. Next page, Machshevas Halev v'Hamoach Shniskadish B'Poel, K'mo Yishnemar V'Osu D'Mikdash Sheshchanti B'Seicham. He says, a person tries to establish within his mind, within his heart, he tries to establish thoughts and feelings that are holy, and he wants to bring these into reality. Nevertheless, you see in life that it often happens, that even though you were expecting, you were, so to speak, pregnant with these wonderful thoughts and feelings, but lemaisa, every time when you want to bring it into your life, it doesn't work out. Or you planned out how you're going to stay away from this aveira, you're not going to have any shaykhis to this aveira at all. And this is it. This is the last time. Never, ever again. And you made all these kabbalas. And you had all these thoughts. And then it doesn't work out. It happens again. So, He says that from Chanukah and from Yosef at Tzadik we receive chizik. From Chalila Niskalkala Asiyah Mitzad Adam calls us Lo Yipo Leiv HaAdam Shechalila Ovet Savor. He shouldn't think that God forbid all hope is lost, even though it didn't work out. Al Zeh Namar Kihin Nibo. Hashem says Kihin Nibo. I'm coming to you. Hashem says, I promise you, I'm returning to you. Ba'atzmi. I'm going to come myself. V'shachanti b'serchech, and I will dwell amongst you, Nu'um Hashem. V'zos yadua. She'ikra ashroz ha'kedush ha'kedushas ha'yesoid. And we know that when it says v'osuli mikdash, that Hashem wants every Jew to make a dwelling place for his presence, the main way of creating this dwelling place is by kedushas ha'yesoid, is by the sanctity of the bris. That's why Chanukah always falls out during these parashiyos. Vayeshev, Miketz, and Vayigash. Shehu Avedas Yosef, which speaks to us of the disappearance of the tzaddik. That means that it seems that I will never be able to have that part of me back that's called tzaddik. When a Jew loses his innocence, her innocence, when especially in this union of Yisod, he feels it can't ever come back. It's not shaykh. Once it's lost forever. So I can never have back that covenant that I had with Hashem, because I've ruined it, I've destroyed it. So it's lost, there can't be. The tzaddik, I can never be a tzaddik again. So I'll be what? I'll be a bal tshuva, I'll return to Hashem. So they'll say, oh, you're very choshi, you're a bal tshuva. But inside of my own heart I know that I did those disgusting things. So I don't, you know, the Gemara tells me, this one tells me, that one tells me that Hashem loves me more than ever before. Sure. Who really believes that? I mean, it's hard to believe. We're skeptical. Because it's something, because Yosef is lost. And we can't think of a way, it's not possible to get it back. Because when the tzaddik is lost, he's finished. Taraf Yosef, he's finished. He was destroyed by wild animals. Wherever those wild animals are, I mean, they could be in Manhattan, they could be any place, wherever the wild animals that you happen to have trouble with are, they destroy that part of me that's called the tzaddik. And tzaddik means kitayv, it means something which is forever. But I haven't made it. Because I've destroyed that innocence. I've destroyed that meter that's called the tzaddik, that's called bris. And therefore you feel that it's lost. Therefore he says, Chanukah always comes out during this time when Yosef disappeared. And then we find him. Yosef was found. Because that is the Kedusha of Chanukah. All was lost, and then all of a sudden, I can't believe it. Out of nowhere, we find that Kedusha. We find that which is holy, that which is sealed, that which is pure. And it was never gone. It was not, we just couldn't see it. We just didn't feel it. We didn't see it. But it was there all the time. The Koshnitz Magid spoke of this. The Koshnitz Magid spoke about this, that Chanukah prepares the Jewish people for the 2 months that are coming. Two very difficult months. Teves and the first half of Shvat are very difficult. It's a very difficult period of time. But the Ikur is that during this time, what he's referring to are the weeks of that are called the Shavuot, meaning the weeks that, according to the Ari HaKadosh, these are the main time, those parashiyos of Shmos, Ve'era, and so on, that take place. And we begin during the months of Tevet and Shvat to move into the parashiyos of Shmos. Those, according to the Ari HaKadosh, are the main weeks of working on the Inyan of Kedushas HaBris, of Kedushas HaYesod, during those weeks of Shavuot V'Tat. Those are the main weeks. The parashiyos of Shmos, Va'era, and Bo, and so on, B'Shalach, those are the weeks of Shavuot, those are the weeks of working on the Inyan of Kedushas HaBris. Shehem Sugolim L'Tikun HaBris Kiyadua, these months of Tevis and Shvat. V'ine B'Vadai SheYosef HaTzadik Neschazik V'Shomak Kedushoso, Shalayivkum Chalil, Yosef HaTzadik remained Yosef HaTzadik, not to blemish, not to damage that midah, God forbid, Lebe Maisei, not in action, Lebe Hero, not in thought, Lebe Never Chalil Shum Tipalavar, and that not one drop of the Tzadik was lost. Even though from Chazal, there was an indication that even though he overcame the temptation of the wife of Potiphar, nevertheless, there was something that took place there, but that's something that he knew of this, and we're not going to go into right now, it's not the proper time. Raka Abdus, in those he didn't Khalila give it over into the world of Potiphar. Raka Abdus, Vahashibud Shahayalo. All of the suffering that he went through, that he was thrown into the pit, he was a slave, a servant, and the suffering, Hayarak Vishimala Dervish, Gama Sha'arva, Kol Nefesh Yisrael. This would mean that no matter what kind of slavery any Jew has gone through, no matter how deep a pit any Jew has been thrown into, meaning by his own aveiros, no matter how enslaved he was to Mitzrayim, because Yosef was a slave, no matter how a Jew was enslaved to that world of Mitzrayim, lo yil tzmisus chalil, it's not forever, it's not permanent. The day is going to come when Yosef's going to, when the tzaddik is going to climb out of the pit, he's going to be taken out, and then it's going to happen very quickly by Yiritzu min Habor. Very quickly, he'll be taken out of one day. In a minute, he'll be taken out of the pit. Rak miskavitz v'chayz l'kedush, he's going to come back to kedusha, to holiness. V'zeh nir mazgam ken v'birkas v'yish chaydish. This is hinted at in the brocha of v'yish chaydish, which we also just said, and it said during this time of the year of Chanukah, every Chanukah you have v'birkas v'yish chaydish, right? So what's the brocha? In the brocha, misha osa nisim lavoseinu. The one who performed miracles for our ancestors. The Goalei Sam and redeemed them. The Goalei Sam Abdus L'Cheiris. He took them from slavery to freedom. Shakoyach Hazeh Nitan Ba'avaseinu. This is a koach that was infused in our ancestors. This is what our ancestors achieved. That what? That any one of their descendants, no matter how enslaved they are, they could be redeemed. They can get out. And that's why he says, "Who Yigalai son of Bekarav?" You know, it's because Hakadosh Baruch Hu was Goyalos Avoseinu, he nisim far avos to take them out from no matter where they were stuck in, even though it seemed that there was no hope. That is the guarantee that Who Yigalai son of Bekarav, that he will redeem us soon, that the redemption will come. That Hashem will gather the Jews who are so lost, are totally, totally beyond the imagination of ever being found again. Such Jews. The kabbes nidachenu mi'abakam feis ha'aretz. We say Rish Chaydish, benching. Vazeroim is gamkein. And it's hinted also in the words where it says, Vayehi shom v'veis ha'sohar. It says that Yosef was there. So I'm not saying to say there. Could have said Vayehi v'veis ha'sohar. It was Vayehi shom, he was there, in the jail. Shmi beis asar with all the shvatim, even that Jew who is sham, mi sham yikabetz. Where is sham? Sham means the beis asar, in prison. He's in jail somewhere. He doesn't know. He can't imagine, how am I ever going to get out of this? How's that part of me that's called tzaddik ever going to be free of this craziness? And mi sham yikabetz Hashem lokecha, mi sham yikachecha, and vehi sham the beis asar. He was there in jail. Because that's a hint to any of his descendants who are over there in jail. It doesn't only mean a jail that's made by enemies. It means a jail that one makes himself. It means a jail that was created because of his own Yetzirah, because of his own faults, because of his own Averis. That there was a jail that he placed himself into, and he locked the door and he threw the key away. And now he's crying because he has no way out. And the Baruch Shalom says, it says in Pasuk, Misham Yikabetzcha, Misha Asa Nisim Al-Vasayna V'Gosim, Who Yigalai Son of Bekarov? That he will take us out quickly, and the reassurance that this can be is Chanukah. Chanukah is the Seif Kalanisim. Now, Yosef was this theory. Yosef planted this possibility within Klal Yisrael. Yosef put this gene into the Jewish people, that there can always be a way out of jail. There could be a way out of the pit. How that became applied in history, Lamaisa, when there was no prophecy, when everything was Tamei, that's Chanukah. That's the practical application of what Yosef HaTzadik started, the Holy Name of Yaakov, you know, and Yosef HaTzadik, that would be applied in history through Chanukah. And therefore, it's Chanukah, the Yontav of Chanukah, that's the unwritten, that unwritten knowledge that every Jew has deep within him, that despite all the things that I've done to make distant myself from him, Misham Yikabetzcha. And as I mentioned, this is the picture of Reb Leibel. It tells us of Yaakov Avinu standing by the door of his house, looking out, waiting for the tzaddik to come home, all of his tzaddikim to come home. And that's where we light the Chanukah candle, by the outside. That's where it's lit, to the outside, because the light of Chanukah is so great that it has the koyach mamish to bring back those Jews who are misham yikabetzcha, misham yikachecha, sham bebeis asoyah. Even those Jews who are in jail, way far away from Yiddishkeit, you light the Chanukah candle outside, like Yaakov Avinu, who's looking out into the darkness and saying, Yosef, come home. Yosef HaTzadik must return home, or else all is lost. And he will come home. And the tzaddikim understand that in the end, in the end, every Jew, every single one must return home. Every single one must return home. So I told the Maisa in Shul, I told this in Brooklyn last week. Let me just remind you of Maisa Lubavitcher Rebbe that I hope that you remember. I'm going to say it very much bekitzer, but it's exactly what Rav Leibel is talking about. Very much bekitzer. This was written over by a Jew who was not a Lubavitcher Chassid, if it was still possible to believe it, right? So, not to say, I'm not saying the Lubavitcher Chassid, but I'm not telling the truth. I'm just saying when you write about your own Rebbe, you know, it's very hard to be objective, right? It's very hard to be objective. I didn't mean, God forbid, something bad about Chassidim. Chassidim love their Rebbe, so you say something, it's not, it could be a little bit the imagination. Could be exaggerated, right? So, this was the Maaseh that was written by a Polish Chassid that was a relative of Menachem Zemba. And he was at the wedding of the Lubavitcher Rebbe way back. Well, I don't remember what year was Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chassana. Right? It's 1920, something like that. He was by the Rebbe's Chassana. And because he was Mishpachot with Menachem Zemba, so Menachem Zemba was able to go to see the Rebbe's father-in-law, the Friedrich Rebbe, at the Chassana. And he asked him for a bracha. He went as a child in, and he asked him, as a young man, he went in, and he asked the Friedrich Rebbe Lubavitcher Rebbe for a bracha. The Friedrich Rebbe says, don't come to me, go to the Chassana, the Ramash. Who's the Ramash? Mendel Schneerson. Go ask the Ramash for a bracha. Nope. So he had good connections, so he went to see, it was the Rebbe's Chassana. Lubavitcher Rebbe was by the Tish, and he went over there to him for a bracha. And he asked the Rebbe for a bracha, the Ramash, he wasn't Rebbe then. And the Rebbe said to him, the Rebbe never met him before, and the Rebbe looked at him, and the Rebbe said, you know, the fifth candle of Chanukah is so strong, it's able to shine, it's able to light up a way, even in New York, in Toronto, and even to London. And then they pulled away. And he didn't know what was that. So that was it. So that was the only time he met the Ramash. And in the meantime, happened with the Tsarist, World War II also, it happened 30, 40 years past, whatever. And he was for a time in New York, and he went, and he says, you know, I was by his chasna 30 years ago, whatever, I was by the chasna, let me go give shalom, even though he himself was Davka Polish. He says, let me go say hello to the tzaddik, to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he went there. In those days, it was much easier to get in. He went into Lubavitcher Rebbe. He walked, and he hadn't seen him since the chasna, so it's a maaser from over 30 years. He walks in, and the Rebbe says, oh, I'm so happy to see you. You know, you were mesamech me by my chasna, that you came to the chasna. First of all, there were thousands of people to chasna. Second of all the things that had transpired. He said, you know, you were mesamech me by the chasna, and I just want to tell you something very important. The light of the, and it wasn't Chanukah, not by the chasna, not now. He says, the fifth candle of Chanukah is gewaldig. It can light from New York to Toronto to London. And then again, they pulled him out. It wasn't Nishchan Chanukah, Nishchan Yontif. And he says, he doesn't know what's going on with him. What's with the fifth candle of Chanukah? Anyway, more years passed, and he got a job. This he'd got a job in Toronto. No. So he ends up in Toronto. He moves to Toronto. In the meantime, he had already his children, and he had a grandson that was having a chasna. The grandson lived in London. He was marrying a girl from London. The chasna was in London, yeah? So he's packing up to go to London, and a woman, a neighbor from the block, who was not so religious, but she came crying to this chassid, and she said to him, I heard you're going to London for your grandson's chasna mazatov. My daughter ran away with a non-Jew, and I have information that she's someplace in England. Please talk to her and bring her back. So he says, what, I'm in England? To find your grandson? What? Okay, please do this. So the end of the ma'aseh, so he goes to the chasna, and he was asking people, you ever see this girl by this and this name, whatever her name is, Molly Brown, the chveis, you know, where this girl is looking for, no, it's already after the chasna, he's going back, he's already getting set to go back home. So he says, so he felt very bad, because the lady asked him a type, she's crying, her mother, the child's going with a non-Jew. So she finally, so he was talking to some people, and they said, you know what, why don't you go this, go call the shaliach, the Lubavitcher shaliach. If there's any people who are running around, the yidden that are lost, they maybe pass through the Chabad. So he says, okay, you know, he called up, and the shaliach said, and he says the name, the shaliach was quiet for like a minute on the phone. He says, hello, hello. So he says, listen, he gets back on the phone, listen, there's a girl by that name that called me. She's coming here tonight to speak to me by that name. So he says, where do you live? And this old Jew says, can I come? The Lubavitcher says, 100% come. It's a Shiloh.
So the end of the ma'isa was that he came to the house there, he knocks on the door, and the shliach opens the door, and this girl is sitting there by the candle, it was the fifth candle of Hanukkah, is sitting sobbing by the candles. And he goes and talks to her, Aliba, and they were talking to her, and she ended up coming home. And he said when he walked in and he saw about the fifth candle, he said everything came back to him from 60 years ago. When the Rebbe told him 60 years before the fifth candle can make a light from here till New York, till Toronto, from Toronto to London to bring a Jew home. I told him that from all those years, then he understood the Indian. So that's what Yosef HaTzadik is. That's what Hanukkah is. But more than London and Toronto. more than anywhere. It's that koyach, misham yikabeschah, Hashem lekecha, misham yikachecha. We should be zeichim mitzvah Hashem to see with our eyes at all of our children and ourselves coming completely home. Begula Hashem v'amidiyas, amen v'amen. Shkoyach.